Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. For we also have had the good news proclaimed to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because they did not share the faith of those who obeyed. Now we have believed, enter that rest, just as God has said. So I declared an oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his works has been finished since the creation of the world. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words. On the seventh day, God rested from his works. And again, in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him whom we must give account. Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord, that we can just come here today, that we can come and hear your word, spend time with you, seeking you, Lord, whether at home or in person. Lord, I just ask that the Holy Spirit just encounter us wherever we are at right now as we listen to these words. Guide us here and hear our prayers. Lord, we just thank you. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. So I've been spending a lot of time thinking about what rest means. I think partly because I'm about to go into a few months of resting from work. Also partly, and this is a little plug for Emotionally Healthy Spirituality, the course that E. Andrew's running, because my house church has been reading the book together, and we just read a book on Sabbath, that chapter. And so these things have been running through my mind. What does it mean to truly rest? What does it mean to take a break, to stop, to pause, to spend time with God, and to cease work? You know, and I went between three verses or sections and chapters in the Bible that I was going to read today. I'm going to read to the other two as well. But I really wanted to start with Hebrews because it's the New Testament. It comes after the New Covenant. And it sets the foundation that Sabbath was not something that passed away. That the idea of needing to rest and sit in God's presence wasn't something of the Old Testament, wasn't just something when Jesus was alive and that he talked about, but it was something that was present in the early church. And so we see that this idea of resting runs throughout all of Scripture, right? But I'm going to read two other passages. Genesis 2:1-3. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. In Deuteronomy 5:12-15. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. As the Lord your God has commanded you, 6 days you labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall do not do any work, neither you nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or your female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. You know, until I read the chapter in EHS this past week, I never really put together that this is the longest commandment. Everything else is short, sweet, and to the point. One line, basically, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not love. You know, it's so short. It's so brief. And yet here we see with the Ten Commandment, when it comes to the fourth one about Sabbath, it is the longest. There's an explanation. And yet somehow we miss it. It's somehow it has become optional in our life to rest. And yet here we see God clearly explaining the importance of rest. For 400 years-ish, right? We don't know exactly how many, I don't remember exactly how many years they were slaves versus just living in the land of Egypt. They had no choice, right? Someone was their master. Someone was over them. And they told them what to do, when to do it, and they didn't have a choice to rest. And here God is now instructing these people, his children, to stop, to pause, to rest. Right? Because they didn't know what that looked like. They didn't have the opportunity to hear about resting. All they knew was do what you're told. Right? I mean, obviously, the slavery looks different than what we think of modern-day slavery, like P. Kenny mentioned in his EMP, I think, a couple weeks back. It's not the same as we think about slavery in the Americas, right? It is different. It was better for the most part. But they didn't know or understand it. God had to take them 40 years, to learn what it meant to be his child. And part of that was resting, right? We think about the story of when he provided food from heaven, manna and birds, right? And they would come down every day. And every day they would have food provided for them except for on the day 7, right? And if they collected too much food the days leading up to that day, it would spoil and rot because they needed to learn to trust God. But on the last day before the day of rest, they were allowed to collect 2 days' worth so they wouldn't be hungry. There's something about trusting that God will take care of us even in the seasons that we were to rest. When we think about God told them to give their land a year of rest, that he would take care of their needs, even if they weren't farming that land, letting it basically let the soil rejuvenate, right? I don't know if you know much about farming. I don't know that much about farming. But what I do know is they are supposed to rotate their fields, right? And one of the issues we're having, and especially in the United States and places where you have corporate farming, is they're overworking the land because the soil itself has nutrients in it. But if you overwork the land, eventually what happens is it cannot produce for you anymore. And so by allowing the land to rest, a year, it allows nutrients to go back, right? They allow the whatever to come up, whether it's grass, weeds, whatever the plants were from the previous years, and just allowing that to die off and go back into the ground. You're putting nutrients back into the ground so when you start to harvest from it again, the food is good, the soil isn't depleted. You know, and I think what an amazing metaphor that is for our lives. If we never stop and rest in God, never cease from working, we never learn to trust that God will provide, and we never allow our bodies to rejuvenate, to allow the nutrients, the word of God, the rest of God, the delight of God to re-enter into our lives, that we can therefore then come back out, not just to do God's work for the people around us, but to have a spiritually healthy life where we bear good fruit, we bear much fruit, that we stay grounded in him. And if we don't take that time to really rest in God, we're no different than the rest of the world. In fact, I think we might be worse than some of the rest of the world who are good at resting, who are good at laying aside work so they can just play and have fun, but they miss out on the enjoyment of God, right? They miss that aspect. In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, I didn't connect, maybe I heard it before, but I didn't connect the dots till I was reading and meditating on this passage last night. And I was looking up something, and it was saying that the leaders were so upset by Jesus saying this passage, by Jesus speaking these words, because it directly connects back to Exodus 33:14, when God said, the Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Right? And we don't connect those two passages together because they seem, they're a little different in our minds, or at least I've never connected. But they were so angry because when Jesus was saying, I will give you rest, I will take your burden, my yoke is easy, he's alluding to God, that he is God. The kind of rest he is talking about is only that of a godly rest. Right? And unless we're willing to stop and pause, it's very difficult to give God those burdens. We don't even know what those burdens are. Right? When we come into a place of rest, it's not just about watching TV or going and playing basketball or going hiking, which is fantastic, and things that I think you should do in rest, things that bring joy to your life, things that you, as the book talks about, you delight in, right? Things that you enjoy, your passion. So it should be part of your restful times. But if we never cease, we never take the time to look at ourselves. We never allow God to enter our hearts, or we do it briefly. You know, P. Sam or whomever preaches an amazing message and it touches our heart, and for about 5 minutes during ministry time, we reflect on it, but then we get up and go about our day. Do we actually pause during the day to allow God to speak to us and for us to start to recognize, wait, something's off, right? I don't even know I have this burden to pass off to God. Charles Spurgeon says, rest time is not waste time. It's an economy to gather fresh strength. It is wisdom to take occasional furlough. In the long run, we shall do more by sometimes doing less. Watchman Lee says, our rest lies in looking to the Lord and not to ourselves. You know, we never cultivate that time. You know, I was thinking about COVID. You know, as a child growing up in Michigan, when winter came, there was something you looked forward to. Just like kids in Hong, well, us too, in Hong Kong, we look forward to typhoon days, right? It's like, oh, a day off. Well, growing up, we love snow days, right? Snow days, we lived for snow days. You'd like wake up in the morning early enough, like, did your school make it on the TV? Because they would run all the schools that were canceled on a line in the bottom of the TV. So you just wait. Oh, it's taking forever to get to Oakdale. It's the end of the alphabet. You have to wait so long to see your school name. You're just waiting and waiting to hear, do you have to go to school? You know, in New York City, they actually just said because of COVID and learning how to do online education, snow days will no longer exist. They're just gonna, if it's too snowy outside, that's fine. Kids are gonna be required to log in to do Zoom class. And there's been an uproar, especially by adults, saying, hey, don't take that wonderfulness away from the children. It's something we looked forward to. Why are we removing it? And they had all the reasons. But a snow day, a typhoon day, allows us to pause. It actually forces us to break. It forces us to not, now that we have technology that takes that a little bit away from us, but it gives us that break, a mini break. But let's think about times when God has forced us into seasons of breaking. Not like breaking us physically, but literally pausing, stopping. Those aren't usually how we want to learn how to rest. When it is forced upon us, it's actually not usually the best way to get there. Whether you get it because of you're sick, something called COVID comes around and things have to shift and we have to be home. You name it, you get in a car accident. Now, I'm not saying God causes all of those things, okay? Or that, let's not go down that line today. It's not long enough to talk about that. But when we are forced into resting, It's not always good. We sometimes have to remember to rest and learn, but I think it's actually something that we need to take dramatically into our lives. To rest is something we have to be able to be willing to take a dramatic change to get there. It's not easy. Think about it. Yesterday on the staff day, even though it was my day of rest, you know, I went and got a massage. And while I'm getting a massage, my head's going, what do I still need to do? Oh, tomorrow I need to do this. I have to do this. My brain was not resting, right? I was still trying to get that patterns like, okay, tomorrow I should do this at work, Wednesday this, and all these things. I have to pack. I have to do this. My brain didn't know how to rest because we haven't taught ourselves this pattern. I think the Israelites, the Jews today, they've taken it to a whole other extreme, right? I mean, we've talked about how, you know, if you get on a lift in Israel, they wait for that, you know, the Gentile, the sinful person to come and press the button for them. It's okay for me to work, not for them, right? But I was sharing how I remember when I was there years ago with students, the hotel we stayed at that would be on their Sabbath, there was no cooking done that day. Even though the majority of the workers were Arabs and not Jews, the hotel we stayed at took it seriously that the foreigners, and I do that intentionally, right? The foreigners, even though they've lived there their whole lives, they were not to work either, or very minimally. And so the food was all pre-cooked. They didn't use real dishes. I know it's wasteful and bad for the environment, but they used disposable cutlery and plates because they took serious not calling someone in to clean those dishes. And though they are incredibly extreme, and I think maybe too extreme, I think we need to find that middle ground. Because when we truly rest in God, there's three things I feel we learn. It reminds us that we are created in His image. God is the first to rest. In creation, before sin, He rested. We rested. The people rested. It was a pattern in place before sin came into place. And He rested, and that was a pattern we were to follow. And it reminds us to sit and remember what it means to be His child, what it means to be His follower, to give praise to Him. Though we can praise Him every day, there is something about that day of rest, giving praise to God, that's special, should be. You know, I've been mostly in the overflow rooms, which are great and wonderful, and I highly encourage you come and join the overflow rooms. But when we had All Sons meeting last month, there was something wonderful about worshiping, actually singing in this sanctuary, right? It had been, besides when I preached, I haven't actually worshiped in this sanctuary in a year. Because I'm worshiping other places, and once again, it's great, it's wonderful, you should join us there too. But there's something about the coming together and worshiping that reminds us of God. Two, rest is about learning that you are not God. When we rest, we are saying we are not God. When we don't rest, we're saying we know better than God. When we don't rest one day a week, 24 hours, whether it's a whole Monday or 8 p.m. to 8 p.m., whatever your 24 hours are, and I do believe it should be 24 hours, that someone asks, can we do 8 hours this day, 8 hours that day? I'm like, what's different then, right? Unless you're a workaholic, you're not getting enough rest throughout. But no, like, when you choose to still work on your rest day, your Sabbath day, you're saying you don't believe that God thinks this is good for you. You may intellectually be able to say that, but in practice, you're saying, I know better than you, God. I'll be okay. If you really pause and think about it, I've had people tell me many times when I talk about rest, you just don't get it, Mary. You just don't get it. I have to do this. My boss needs me to do this. But my question to you is it that I that don't get it, or is it you that don't get it? Is it you that hasn't realized and understood the importance? You know, on that, when you think about the fourth commandment, when it was written, it talked about Make sure the foreigner, your servant, your sons, your daughters, they rest. If you are an employer of any sort, don't call your people to work on their day of rest. Set that pattern, set that tone. You be the one that takes the charge. Because here you see it was the Israelites who were commanded to make sure the others got to rest as well. If you are in place of leadership over somebody, ensure that they find that time to rest as well. Take that upon yourself to let them know it's okay to break. And the last one, rest is trust in God. When we rest, we truly learn what it means to trust God. That, you know what, that emergency at work, it'll be okay. Obviously, there are moments where the extreme, something truly happens, like even me, who I'm pretty good at not doing any physical work for church on Mondays. Obviously, if there are certain things that I would respond to a phone call, if someone's having a family emergency that's severe or it's like going out of control. You know, obviously we know Jesus, he did work on Sabbath. He did heal people. He did do things. But it's trusting that God will take care of not only you, but the work that is being missed out. It's learning to trust that God will provide, that God will supply everything that you need during that time. And so this morning, as I asked P-Nate to come up to lead us in worship, I want you to ask yourself, as you worship, are you struggling to find rest? Ask God to reveal why. Maybe you're good at taking that 24-hour period of time off of work, but you're not finding yourself rested. Ask God, what's missing in the patterns of that day? Are you finding enjoyment? Are you finding time to spend with Him? Are you so busy doing catching up on household stuff, which, by the way, maybe you shouldn't be doing on your day off, your Sabbath? Maybe we should allow that to break. It's okay if the dishes pile up for a day. It's fine. Ask God to show you what's causing you not to find that rest in Him.
Hungry I come to you, for I know you satisfy. I am empty, but I know your love does not run dry. So I wait for you. So I wait for you. I'm falling on my knees, offering all of me. Jesus, you're all this heart is living. To you, for your arms are open wide. I am weary, but I know your touch restores my life. So I wait for you. So I offering all of me. Jesus, your oldest heart is living for.
Now, as we were worshiping, I just had this moment of a reminder to prepare ourselves for Sabbath. You know, prepare ourselves. Maybe that means changing around our schedules during the week, intentionally marking off on our calendars, today is my Sabbath rest, so that you plug in all the little details that need to be done before that day or after that day. You know, don't just come into Sabbath, like just don't come into worship. However, but really prepare ourselves. Prepare ourselves, prepare our families, so that we can really, to the best that we can, enjoy God's presence in that time. So God, I just thank you, Lord, that you are a God of rest, that you are a God who rested and demonstrated that to us, Lord, that we are able to follow your example. Lord, and we also thank you that you showed us that healing and, you know, ministering on that day is also good, Lord, and that you are a God who shows us what true rest looks like. Lord, help us to lay aside those things, those worries, that concerns that start to build up so that we don't fully embrace what it means to spend with you, or God, that even when we do spend time with you, we still aren't refreshed because there's so much going on in our lives. Lord, help us to fully experience what it means that you take off our yoke, that your burden is easy, Lord, that you're willing to take our burdens, Lord, so that our yoke, the yoke you place on us, your yoke on us will be easy. Lord, that we can truly experience that in our lives, that thing that you desire for us. So Lord, help us to start to see what it is in our lives that's causing us to not get to that point, Lord, and help us to be set free. Amen. As we go into a time of praying for a community, let's just give thanks to God first about the things he's done over the weekend, yesterday, any today, the things that he's done for us. Let's give praise and honor to him. Let's pray for those in our community who are going through cancer, going and recovering through chemo, radiation therapy, and surgeries. Let's just really pray that in this season of illness and sickness, that God will be their healer, God will be their provider, and that they'll just stay deeply connected to him through this entire process. Let's pray for encouragement, and let's pray for complete healing for each and every one of these people. Let's pray for those in our community or friends of those in our community who are sick but also need to meet God, Jesus, as their Lord and Savior. Let's pray for both physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray that God will open their hearts, their minds to him. And let's just pray that God will also help them through this, their sicknesses, and that they will be healed. pray for those who are battling other infirmities. Let's just pray for God's healing hand. Let's just pray that the people on this list will truly know God as not just their healer, but their provider, their comfort, their support in this time. Pray for those who are looking for work. Let's pray that God will sustain them in this time, and God will also open the right doors at the right time for them. Let's pray for Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government. Let's pray for the wealth gap. Let's pray for revival in this city. Let's pray for all the churches here. Let's pray for Sports Service International, Shanti, YWAM, Stand Asia, Sons and Daughters, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, students, domestic helpers, and families in distress. Let's really pray for our city this morning. Lift up the staff. Let's just lift up everyone who on this list. Let's pray for unity. Let's just pray for rest, and let's pray for wisdom as we lead different ministries. Yeah, if you just cover the staff here at church. For hospitality teams, welcoming led by P. Andrew and barista by Caleb. Let's just really pray for our church to be a place that people come and feel welcomed. Let's just pray that it's not just these teams, but it's all of us. And let's just really pray for especially the teams as they can hopefully demonstrate to us what it looks like. Thank you. up our worship, sound, and AV teams led by P. Nate, Conrad, and P. Kenny. Let's just really pray for God's Spirit to just fall in them. Let's just pray over any technological issues. Let's just pray against it. Let's just pray that we will be known as a church that really worships God. Up our house churches meeting tonight: Chai Tea, First Street, Fontana, Hopewell, House to House, K House, OPR, and Princeton. Let's just really pray that tonight, as they discuss on friendship, let's just pray that God will be the center. Let's just pray that they'll really have a time to encounter God, and let's just pray for true fellowship to happen. Finally, let's pray for the pregnancies. Let's pray for Vivian, Catherine, Kathleen, Eunice, Monica, Ealing, Vicky, and many others who are also pregnant but are not listed. Let's just pray that God will just continue to really just support the moms and the dads in this season. Let's pray for healing over these little ones that are, some of them are quite severely sick. And let's pray for just good results from different surgeries that have been taking place or have taken place. So let's just lift up these little babies. Let's lift up their moms. Let's lift up their dads. And if they have siblings, let's just lift up them as well. God, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you that we can just come before you, Lord, that you're God that desires us to spend time with you, God. And that is special, God, Lord, that we don't forget. It's not just about our own goodness and our benefit that we can rest, but God, you treasure us. God, that you want us to be with you. Lord, that you desire to have that relationship with us, Lord, and you initiate that. And God, we are so thankful that you are that way. Lord, I just pray over each of us as we go about our day that you'll bless our spirits to connect to your Spirit. God, open our hearts, our minds to see what you're doing so we can learn to join you in it. God, help us to slow down and to seek you and to see you. Lord, we thank you, God, and we just invite you to guide us today. In your name we pray, amen. Have a great and wonderful rest of your prayer time, and we hope to see you back here tomorrow.